You on in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 16 today, Acts chapter 16, as we continue looking and reviewing the work, the beginnings of the church. You know, most people like to be certain about what they're going to be doing, have a little bit of confidence about what's coming up, and they have your plans, you have your schedules. How many of you have a calendar that you write everything on, or you put your information in your phone and it get reminders all the time about what's supposed to happen next? And we just like some consistency in our lives generally. But even with all those scheduling and the routine that we have, there are a certain amount of surprises that come along. Things that kind of throw a kink in the plan, yeah, wrench in the monkey works is one of the phrases I grew up with. Things just don't quite happen the way we wanted them to. We discover new things, and sometimes they are good, and sometimes they are challenging. For example, one very windy day, a farmer was looking out across his field, and he all of a sudden he saw somebody out there in the middle of his field wrestling with something really big. And so he thought, what in the world is that? And he went out to inspect. And he got out there, and here's this young soldier trying to wad up a big, large piece of canvas. And the farmer thought immediately, and he said to the young guy, he said, man, you must have been very courageous to come down in that parachute in this 100-mile-per-hour gale today. And the soldier said, I didn't come down in a parachute. I went up in a tent. He had a surprise. He didn't realize what was going on before. It carried him away. The wind carried him away. It's an interesting thing in the Scripture. The word for wind in the Greek is the same word interpreted spirit. When Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus how the wind blows wherever it wants to, and also how the spirit moves where he wants to. So we might ask the question, do you know where the wind will carry you today? Or tomorrow, or in your life, where is the wind going to take your tent? Or another way of asking that is, where is the Spirit going to take your life? What does the Spirit want you to do? Is it going to take you where you planned to go, or where God wants you to go? I grew up in Southwest Idaho. I didn't ever make plans to come to Albuquerque, New Mexico, outside of maybe a visit. But here we are, because God's Spirit moves in mysterious ways sometimes. Amen? As the first century believers placed their faith in Jesus Christ, the world that they were familiar with often got turned upside down. Their lives got blown around. As they were serving Jesus, they ran into persecution. And Jesus had warned them that all of his followers should expect persecution just as he had been persecuted, right? Jesus had given his followers some marching orders just as he was leaving the earth, what we call the Great Commission, that they were to spread the gospel, to first begin in Jerusalem, then go through all of Judea, and then on into Samaria, and then ultimately to the ends of the earth. Well, at this point in the gospel, in this letter of the book of Acts, the history of the book of the church, the book that tells us how the church was beginning, those first three goals had been accomplished pretty much. Jerusalem was well covered by Christians. Judea was well covered by Christians. Samaria, but now the ends of the earth. When you look at a map, how big is Israel compared to the rest of the world? Pretty small, isn't it? Where do you go from next? What's the next step? Now, goal number four hadn't been accomplished yet. We've read that Paul and Barnabas were picked by the Holy Spirit, and they were sent out on the first missionary journey. We've completed looking at that journey overall, but there was still a whole lot to do. Barnabas and John Mark have now returned to the island of Cyprus at this point in our text. They have gone back to check on the new believers that were taught about Jesus, and they want to instruct them more. But Paul is joined by a man named Silas to be involved with missions. But which way are they supposed to go? We're going to see a little bit of that today as God grabs their tent and carries them along. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus, for the hope of salvation. We thank you that Jesus has come in behalf of all people, including us. He's paid the full price for our sin. Thank you for that. Now, Father, as we continue in faith and obedience to you, Father, help us to be attentive to the moving of your Spirit in our life, to go where He would want us to go, where you want us to go, to do the things that you want us to do, to say the words that you want us to say. Father, we thank you for your help, that you don't leave us on our own, but you're always there, shaping, forming, directing, encouraging, uplifting, and guiding, and blessing. Father, be with us as we take these next few moments to review just another small portion of your word. Inspire us, direct us in your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Acts chapter 16. We're going to start reading at verse 6 through verse 15. Again, this is the New American Standard Translation. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. A great passage as we see the continuing expansion of the gospel, but sometimes that expansion takes us to places we hadn't really planned about. We hadn't made preparations for, but God had. So looking at the first point I want to bring out is our heart must be attentive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our heart needs to be attentive, to be paying attention, to not just be focusing on what we want to do, but what God would want us to do. The promise of Christ and the Scripture, the Apostle Peter, over and over again, is that every obedient believer is given what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. When we give our life to the Lord Jesus, we are promised that assurance. The promise is stated clearly by the Apostle Peter in Acts 2:38, the very first sermon, he says that all believers who are baptized into Christ are given the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised his disciples that he would send his Spirit. Several times he stated that. The Gospel of John, over and over again, is recorded there. And Jesus said that the Spirit would come after he had ascended, after he had returned back to heaven. The third part of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would dwell in God's people. Think about that. God lives in who? Us. God lives in us through His Spirit. We have part of God dwelling in us. Now, a lot of people have misconstrued that and said that we become gods. That is not what the Scripture is saying. We are children of God by adoption as the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Spirit of God speaks through the servants of God. We are told Jesus said to his disciples and to us that the Spirit would give the right words that we need to say when we need to say them. That's why we need to stay in touch with the Spirit, be attentive to listen to what he wants us to say. Sometimes he says, close your mouth. Don't answer back what you are thinking, right? How many times have you had to bite your tongue? Yeah. And other times he says, you need to say something. You need to speak up. Proclaim the truth. Stand up for righteousness. Boy, our culture needs it today, doesn't it? So many people are lost. They're giving us false information. We are the light. How are people going to know the light if we don't speak up? And I want to encourage you to speak up. When the Spirit moves in your heart, you know that's not right. You have the better answer. Speak up, because that's what God wants you to do. Just as the Spirit helped all of those saints recorded in the Scripture, He continues to help us, believers, speak God's Word today. The next point is that the Spirit intercedes for us during our ignorance. Ignorance? You calling me dumb? No, I'm calling us ignorant. Sometimes we don't know what to do. That's what ignorance is. Sometimes we don't have an answer. If you've got an answer for everything, that must mean you're God. No. Be honest. Sometimes we need help. We need an answer. We need direction. And that's why the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He intercedes for us when we don't know what to say. He prays for us when we don't know what to pray. What is the right answer? I don't know. Well, the Spirit knows, because He knows God's heart. And He prays in our behalf. He speaks to the Father in our behalf. None of us have all of the right answers. If you've got all the right answers, you're by yourself, and you're lying to yourself. You need to listen to God. You need to let God's Spirit talk to your heart. So God has taken up residence within us through His Spirit to help us. If you're not going to let the Spirit help you, you're denying one of the most important gifts God has given. You're denying the work of God. That is dangerous. It's deadly. Let the Spirit help you. The Spirit of God helped Paul and Silas as they served God. We see these guys. They were powerful preachers of God, and what are they doing? They're depending on the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit to help them as they served God. The evangelists were supported by God through the prayers of their local church. We read that back in chapter 15. They had been at Antioch in Syria, and the church sent them back out on this second trip, as well as their own prayers. How often are we supposed to pray? Constantly. Seeking God's help. Be in constant communication with our Father. Now, if these men had tried to preach without God's guidance, how far would they get? not very far. It would have been a flop. It would have been fruitless. They would fall flat on their face. But the Holy Spirit helped them to do what God the Father wanted them to do. We see that the love of Christ will work in the hearts of those who are believers, and He will motivate us. God's love will motivate us to reach out to others. And Paul and Barnabas didn't know exactly where they were going to end up, but they knew that it was God's will, it was the command of Christ, and the love of Christ was working in them, and they wanted others to be saved from death. Do we want others to be saved from death? I trust the answer is yes. I mean, if we saw somebody injured, would we just walk by and say, sorry, your problem? Ooh, that's dangerous, isn't it? Shouldn't we be finding help? Be like the Good Samaritan? Second point, Christians must be making an effort to be obeying Jesus. We must be making an effort. Sally and I are planning a vacation here in 2-3 months, and if we just sat back on our haunches and didn't do anything to prepare, do you think we would get a vacation? No, there's some amount of preparation that is involved, and you don't just sit in one spot and expect to end up someplace else. You have to do some action. You have to follow through. We see that Jesus fulfilled His mission in His ministry by intentionally going to Jerusalem, right into the corner of all of the enemies. Why? To fulfill His mission, to give His life as the final sacrifice for mankind. He took some action. He didn't sit back and say, I'm the Son of God and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, it required some sacrifice on His part, some action to fulfill the plan. Action is necessary on the part of the service of the King of Life for every one of us. If we want to go to heaven, we'd better be doing what God calls us to do. Read the book of James. Paul and Silas began their trip with some goals in mind. They had some ideas, some goals that they wanted to achieve. We read in Acts chapter 15, verse 36, that it points out that the Apostle Paul wanted to go back and check on the well-being of these new believers that he just finished bringing to Christ. After all, how much do you learn in 2 weeks' time about being a servant of Jesus? Hey, you're a baby spiritually. And so Paul wanted to go back to make sure that these Christians were growing in the will of God with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so he makes plans. He wanted to go back to that region, and he ends up having a little argument with Barnabas, a disagreement. God used it for good, but at the point, have you ever imagined Paul being upset? He was pretty strong-willed and bullheaded on some things. Paul was not perfect. And we see a division between him and Barnabas over the service of John Mark. But God used it for good, because instead of just one missionary team, now God has two missionary teams. Paul and Silas take off in one direction, Barnabas and John Mark go another route and fulfill the will of God. Later on, they mend fences. Praise God. Amen. Ever have to mend fences amongst you and somebody else? That happens, doesn't it? God's love leads us to mend some fences. But anyway, we see that Paul wanted to go check on these other believers. Well, since Barnabas and John Mark have gone taken care of the island of Cyprus, how about those other churches? Paul says, you know, there's still opportunity here. There's still people to go to see. And they take off and head to the region of Pamphylia. They would pass through Paul's home city, or close to it, the city of Tarsus. I find this kind of interesting because the Scripture doesn't tell us anything, but after Paul left Jerusalem by the threat against his life, he went back home. What was he doing at home? Was he just sitting in his house all those years? Or was he telling others about Jesus? I assume that he was telling others about Jesus Christ and had probably started churches around his hometown. And yet the Scripture doesn't say anything about it, but they go overland and they go right through the territory where his hometown is, Tarsus. Maybe he stopped to say hi to Mom. None of you ever do that, do you? Or Dad or your brother or cousin or somebody? You like to see family once in a while? Maybe Paul had that same thing going on in his heart. We don't know. The Scripture doesn't say. His main goal is to preach the gospel. And he's got Silas as his companion. So the team planned to visit new locations as well. As they traveled, first they head north out of Antioch. You can't see the map very good right now, but if you go in your Bible maps, you can see they went north and up around the coastline of the Mediterranean and then headed west to go through his home area and then to get to the churches that they had begun in the first missionary journey. Well, they're headed west, and it appears that they wanted to go all the way over to the area of Ephesus. And what happens? God says, no. Somehow, he stopped them. Didn't the people at Ephesus need to know the gospel? Yes, but it's not in God's timing. This new location at this point did not include Ephesus on God's calendar. They needed to listen to the Spirit. This gift of evangelism burned in their hearts as they tried to reach out to as many people as possible. They wanted others to know about life in Jesus Christ, but the Spirit stopped this team from going further west. Verse 6 says they were forbidden to go. Now, if that's not a no, I don't know what is. When God says, don't do that, what are we supposed to do? Don't do it. Don't do it. It's not the right time. Now, some of us will say, that doesn't make sense. Later on, Paul goes to Ephesus, but it's many years later when their hearts are ready. The Spirit of God knew that the hearts of those people weren't ready yet. There was somebody that was ready. It's a woman sitting on a riverbank. It's a man who's sitting in a jail. They need to hear the gospel. We got to get you there as soon as possible. Well, Paul and Silas have no idea that all this is going on in heaven's spiritual realm. They're just trying to get out there and preach the gospel. So they turn directions. Instead of going west to Ephesus, they turn north. God knows the hearts of the people. God has a plan for each of us, and going west was not God's plan. So the American old motto is, go west, my son, did not work in this case. There would be another day that God would send them to that region. Christians are to be alert and flexible in serving Christ. How flexible are you in your faith, in your service? I said on my calendar, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that if it kills me. Oh, really? Is that what God wants you to do? Or is it your decision? You need to be flexible in serving Christ. We don't know the Lord's plan for our life. We don't know who's ready or who needs something that we can help provide for the glory of Christ. Scripture warns us to guard against bullheadedness and stubbornness. We are to be submissive to God's guidance. Paul and Silas changed their plan and they headed north into the region of Galatia to an unexpected delay. How many of you like to be healthy? We all do. But sometimes what happens? Sometimes we get sick. And that brings us to the next point. God can be glorified through our weakness. God can be glorified through our weakness. Galatians chapter 4, verse 13 and following indicates that Paul preached in the region of Galatia while he was sick. He got down on his back. We don't know exactly how he got sick or what he was sick with, but he was down with sickness, and while he was sick, flat on his back, he had opportunity to be a witness to the people that were taking care of him. And he states that in the book of Galatians. He said, I don't know how you put up with me while I was sick there, but it proved to be beneficial because I got to tell you the good news about salvation in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we are down sick flat on our back and somebody new comes along and we have an opportunity to do what? Complain and grumble. Or share the love of Jesus. What are we going to do? Let's share the love of Jesus. Share the good news. Even when we're down. Paul was given an opportunity to testify about Christ to his caregivers. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and following, Paul had an ailment of some type and he prayed three times that God would remove it. And what was God's response? My grace is sufficient for you. My power... Well, actually, it didn't say my power, but power is perfected in weakness. But whose power is it? It's God's power. God works even through our weaknesses because if we're doing it in our power, people are looking at who? At us. But if we're doing it in God's power, who gets the credit? God gets the credit. So when you're hurting, sick, down and out, are you still a witness for Jesus so that others will see Him working in you in spite of your situation? Paul is our example. When Paul recovered, the mission team pressed on, but the Holy Spirit somehow guided them. They didn't keep going north. They would have ended up at the Black Sea. But somehow the Spirit turned them and headed them back west again. Man, make up your mind. I'm wandering all over the place on the map here. No, be patient. God knows what He's doing. That leads us to our third point. When the Spirit calls, be sure to obey His directions. Be sure to obey His directions. We are taught specific guidelines of righteousness in Scripture. Don't deviate from righteousness. But we need to be flexible on how to apply the righteousness of God. When it comes to applying those truths, we need to be led by the Spirit on how to share the good news. We need the Spirit's help. Going back to a previous point, right? Let Him lead you. God sometimes guides His followers through visions and dreams. We see that in this case. We see it frequently throughout the Bible. Old Testament prophets like Joseph, Daniel, Isaiah, many others received visions regarding their conditions or upcoming events. God is fully able to do it again if needed. If needed. I've seen some mission reports, mainly coming out of the Muslim regions of the world, where many Muslims are receiving visions of Jesus calling them to Him. And these people are seeking Christ and finding Him, finding ways of getting to the gospel. And their testimony is, I started because I saw a vision. God is still able to work through visions. In regard to that, God's visions always agree with His teachings that He has already given. God will not change His message. The Apostle Paul warned about anybody who claimed they had a new message, a different message. And there are many religions today that were started based on new information. Well, the Apostle Paul in God's Word says, those are lies. God's Word is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He doesn't change His message. So, but we need to be realizing that God sometimes works in ways that we can't put God in a box. Right? God is going to do things His way. And He will use His people the way He wants to. We see here that He gave a vision to Paul. An interesting side note here is, you might make a note in your Bible, Luke, the author of the book of Acts, has joined the group at this point. It changes from they to we. And we're not talking about electronics. We is the name of a game, product, electronics. Okay, sorry, I had to explain that one. We and us. The Spirit was clearly guiding these servants to the right place, where God had prepared the hearts of people who were willing to hear. They were people in Macedonia. Macedonia is a region, like a state, far away. And so they've got to hit the road, Jack, and take the gospel to people who were willing to listen. The team, again, changes their plans to match the call of God, and they proceeded west by land and by sea, headed for a major city called Philippi. They used their heads once they got there to make reasonable decisions. They had to use their noggin. They had to use their horse sense. They had to reason through this process. Why do we say that? In this dominantly Roman community, there was not a large enough Jewish population to have a synagogue. Everywhere else they had gone, in all the other cities, there had been a synagogue where the Jews who believed in the Lord God and had the Old Testament scriptures read regularly, that's where they always went first. But when they get to Philippi, there's no synagogue. There's not enough Jews there to support a synagogue. So where would a group of godly people meet on the Sabbath day if they were thinking about the God of scriptures? Down by the riverside came to their mind. Maybe they had been wandering around a few days and looked around and noticed that a lot of people go down by the river and sit around and chit-chat on the riverbanks. I don't know what the reasoning was, but they decided on the Sabbath day, well, let's just go down on by the river and see who's there and see if there's anybody who might be interested. And lo and behold, what happens? They find some women who appear to be showing some spirituality in some way. Maybe they were praying. Maybe they recognized the conversation. They weren't talking about their favorite gladiator or their favorite horses. They were talking about godly things. And so Paul, Silas, and the team strike up a conversation with these people. How did they get to that point? They had to use their heads through reasonable decisions. They made an educated guess that worshipers might be there. Sometimes we have to use our head on figuring out how do we share the gospel with this group of people. What's going to get their interest? How do I get into this crowd? How do I show God's love to total strangers? Use your head. Jesus came to the well in Samaria, and he was thirsty, and a woman came along, and what did Jesus do? He struck up a conversation with a Samaritan woman, which was anti-cultural, and he asked her about living water. Not just the water to satisfy his thirst, but introduced her to a conversation that she could communicate with and understand. God blessed the persistence and dedication of this team. The gospel of Christ was shared with those interested listeners. We are told specifically about Lydia and her household. We don't know how many were in the household, her servants or whatever. She was a businesswoman, a prominent businesswoman, and had the gospel preached to her, and she accepted it along with her household. They were immersed into Christ. They were the first converts there at Philippi. And then shortly after this, we see another group of believers, the jailer and his household, after some troubles that Paul and Silas encountered. If you don't know about those troubles, Paul and Silas got into stocks and bonds, briefly. But it's not the kind that you want. Read the story if you're not familiar with. Another church is born. More believers are brought to Christ. As we read our text and discuss God's call and purpose, we're only engaged for a few minutes here. We've spent about 30 minutes. But how much does God want us to be involved and plugged in? God wants us 365, 24/7. Constant dedication to Him. We've only taken about 30, 40 minutes here to look at what took weeks, months of dedication, prayer, travel, and sickness. It all. Everything committed to God. But it was worth every minute to bring those souls to Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's be sure that we keep our heart tuned into the Holy Spirit. Let's be sure that we keep making an effort to reach out to others by being flexible with our goals. Let's be sure to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, whether it is a reasonable idea or a biblical inspiration or maybe even a vision from God that has spurred our interest, pointed us in a direction. Whatever it is, let's be ready. Hearing the call. Satan is offering us all kinds of distractions from hearing his plea, the plea of the lost. Is our radio and television programming directing us to honor and glorify God? Is our choice of reading materials building us up in Christ, in righteousness? Are the activities that we get involved with, are they ones that help in the spread of the gospel, honoring Jesus Christ? We have to be on constant vigil in serving our Lord. The need is great. The world still needs to hear the gospel. Millions are going to hell without Jesus. Do we care? I believe we care. We just got to perk up our ears, open up our eyes, listen to the Spirit, follow His guide. Let's be faithful in loving God and loving people. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the testimony of your scriptures. We thank you for their witness, their dedication, and their flexibility and following your lead. And we thank you for the abundant harvest that you provide in the right time, the right place. Father, help us to continue in serving in this area and regions beyond, wherever you would take us, wherever you grab our tent and land us. Let us be your witness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.